I think that his grandchildren were probably the only people who, after World War II, took him completely for granted and treated him as a normal human being. Because as I grew up, I noticed that the grown-ups, as it were talked about him and behaved with him in a way completely different to how they behaved with other people. So gradually, I discovered that people regarded him quite differently. But for me, now, it's having grown up with him until I was 21 when he died. But for me, it's an endless journey of excitement and discovery, because I'm always discovering new things as I retrace his steps and research his life.
In your grandfather's later years, I understand you travelled with him pretty regularly. What kinds of travels were those?
Well, the first one was an incredible one when I was just 16 on the Onassis yacht in the Mediterranean, and we cruised for 3.5 weeks from Monte Carlo to Istanbul and back, during which time the great romance between Maria Callas and Aristotle Onassis started. By the end of the cruise, both marriages were over, so this was quite a look at life.
Now, of the vast biographies that exist of your grandfather, you perhaps have the distinction of being the closest personally to him. What does that allow you to bring to the collection, the body of knowledge about Winston Churchill?
Well, what it does bring is a huge burden of responsibility to try not to get it wrong. And, well, I suppose I can bring things to it which aren't actually researched. I can bring things which I know about because I was there. I mean, you know, if someone says something, I can then say, yes, I remember. I was sitting at the dining room table at Chartwell and he quoted this poem. Or I was there when he unveiled a portrait of himself on his 80th birthday, which he hated and everyone else hated. You know, I remember the anxiety there was in the family leading up to that and how we were all so worried what would happen when he unveiled this horrific painting which had been given to him by the Houses of Parliament and no one knew how he'd react. And he just said, this is a remarkable example of modern art. And my grandmother took it straight back to Chartwell, their country home, and burned it with a gardener.
Newsweek magazine recently published your grandfather on the cover of an image of him asking, what would Winston do? Do you think that examining Winston Churchill's legacy has any special relevance today?
Oh, absolutely. I think particularly after 9/11, in the years that built up to 9/11, he was taking his place in the history books. But after 9/11, he quite literally stepped out of the history books and back onto the international stage where he'd spent so many years of his own life. People were quoting him from the White House to 10 Downing Street to the London Times to the New York Times. Rudy Giuliani in particular was taking inspiration from Winston Churchill. And that was 60 years after his finest hour. What he would do now, I'm not sure. He certainly would show courage. He certainly would do what he thought was the best for the free world. And I think that he would have anticipated what was going to happen and hopefully avoided it. I personally would hope, very personally, that he would bring the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan to a complete end, because I have a young boy who's in the military, and although he's very excited about going out there, I would love him not to be going.
And how do you think Winston Churchill would feel about his great-great-grandson going off to war?
Oh, he'd understand it completely, because this boy is doing exactly what he wanted to do and doing the same, wanting to get to the places. He's following the same pattern.